Welcome to CNO Agro Foods' third quarter financial results conference call. During this call, Mr. Solomon Lee, the Chief Executive Officer and Chairman for CNO Agro Foods, will provide shareholders with an overview of third quarter results from operations. Following comments by the CEO, the lines will be open for a 30-minute question and answer session. I would now like to introduce the Chairman and CEO of CNO Agro Foods Incorporated, Mr. Solomon Lee.
I would like to thank everyone for joining us today so that I may share with everyone the results of our operation for the third quarter of 2011. I will try to keep this short so that we will have more time for questions and answers. First, I'd like to start off by addressing some concerns that have been raised over the recent announcement regarding shares that were recently issued to reduce debt from certain payable on the company's balance sheet. However, I would like to make this very clear. Just we have done in the past, we have used balanced approach to both debt and equity, which has allowed us to grow operationally, increase earnings per share and net tangible assets, while we also reducing debts on our balance sheet. In July, the company acquired 2 million shares of the company's outstanding common stock at 78 cents. Those shares were then retired and returned to the treasury. And then we issued the shares at 82 cents, bringing value to the company and the shareholders. As in the past, I have worked so to offset equity issuance by acquiring shares and retiring them. Currently, I expect to retire a similar number of shares that will offset the most recent issuance. We will continue to take action that increase the investment in operations, increase net profit, increase net tangible assets. Our revenue for the third quarter increased by 36% to $20.4 million over the same period the previous year. We're now generating more revenue than before the sales of the dairy. The capital raise from the sales of the dairy in the early 2011 has helped us invest and grow our higher margin businesses. Our fishery division saw an increase of over 700% in revenue to $9.4 million over the same period last year. Our plantation saw a slight decrease due to an exceptionally dry climate during the third quarter period. Revenue was down by $269,000. However, increased revenues in other operations are expected to offset the setbacks. Our cattle farm operation generated $2 million in revenue. This was new revenue added that did not exist last year during the same period. Our beef operations increased from $683,000 to $3.9 million during the third quarter over last year. Our combined income of $20.4 million resulted in earnings of 11 cents per share for the third quarter period ending 2011. For the 9 months ended, both discontinued and continuing operation has resulted in earnings per share of 34 cents. As a result, we expected to meet or slightly exceed our guidance of 43 cents set for 2011. Plantation operations start out promising in the third quarter with over 11 million flowers harvested. The trend continued through August with an additional 29 million flowers harvested. September, the plantation received extreme dry weather, which resulted in poor harvest result for the month of September and October. Despite the dry conditions, this year's harvest increased by 25% over the same period of last year. to combat the environmental conditions. Moving forward, the company has created a budget of $8.5 million to greenhouse most of the plantation. This will provide protection against inclement weather as well as to make future harvests more predictable. Our fishery operations produced almost 100 metric tons of seafood in September. The sale resulted in $2 million of revenue. At the end of the quarter, our open dam facility have an inventory of approximately $2.5 million worth of seafood. The company's pond farm continued to undergo construction and is expected to be completed in the first quarter of 2012. The company has also begun development on a third facility that will produce both fish and eel, which is also expected to be completed during the first quarter of next year. At Sam Jang, construction has begun on the internal roads. The project is expected to be completed by mid-2012. The new corporate office building has entered its final stage of construction and is expected to be completed also by the end of this year. The company has had a for-profit center at Sam Jang, with its big house restaurant opened in mid-November of this year. Growth continues to be strong, and the company's farm services and other cattle operations. Many of these newer operations will begin to add to the company's bottom line next year. The company has collected a total of $27 million on the sale of the dairy, and payment continues to be on schedule. It is expected the total sales price will be fully paid by the end of this year. Now, I would like to answer any question that participants might have.
And if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Again, to ask a question, or if you have a comment, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We would like to give everyone the opportunity to ask a question, so please limit your initial questions to 1 and maybe a follow-up if desired. You're certainly welcome to rejoin the question queue if you do have additional questions. All right, let's go with our first question in the queue. Caller, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, my name is John Schaefer. I'm a shareholder. I was just wondering what the effect of slowdown in the economy in China would be on Sinai River Foods. If growth were to slow to, say, 2% a year, would you expect to feel a large impact on your business? And would it affect your ability to form joint venture partnerships? Thank you.
To answer your question, actually, when you look at analyze of our company, we started in 2007, but the results have been performing even under the extreme conditions. We had a very bad year last year, global economics, and China has faced a number of inflationary matters and constraints, as well as the U.S. economic was also down. But our performance is good. So far, we are expecting the earnings per share by the end of this year have a growth rate of about 68.75% comparing to last year. I'm expecting to have a net tangible asset growth, anything more than 23% on the net tangible asset. So in such a manner, we're expecting, because we're now into a very niche market, in the fishery, seafood, and in the beef cattle, So I don't expect we will suffer like in other business because China needs food.
Right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, and let's go on to our next question in the queue.
Dear Mrs. Almond, thank you for your work with CF so far. I have a few questions regarding CF's financing, which I think also that a lot of other investors agree is perhaps the biggest issue from a shareholder point of view. So my first question is whether, because it's obvious looking from your presentation brochure that CF is not going to use any debt financing, would you mind explaining a bit why that is the taken financial policy and if you have any plans changing that, looking at the very very low share price and be not a good deal for existing shareholders for current dilution and equity issues to finance operations? Thank you.
To answer your question in a simple manner, I just do it in a brief manner for you. Number one, there's no dilution effect. As we pointed out before, we always approaching equity and debt on a balanced manner. And we have retirement shares in order to do our financing by issuing shares. So this time, it's exactly the same. There will be an equivalent amount of shares being retired. And so such that there's no dilution effect. And number two, on your question of the market's downturn the last few days, I think we are suffering the same fate as all the other Chinese counterparts in the U.S. market. We are performing so well fundamentally. But again, I think a lot of shareholders also get frustrated as much as we are. We are doing our best, and our shareholders are doing their best in supporting the Canada, but somehow it's keep falling. I don't understand. But believe me, the company is very sound fundamentally, and its growth rate both on the net tangible asset as well as the earnings per share is very strong, and it's getting better every year. And also, we're managing very well. Our portfolio on the total issue and outstanding from 2010, we only increased by 2.6%. This year, we kept it below 9%. Now, and our debt to equity ratio also very sound. 2009, we have a 14.28% debt to equity ratio. And 2010, we only have 6.23%. This year, because we're committing to grow $72 million for the year on our tangible assets, such that we're still keeping it below 19%. So, in a way, when you're looking at this statistic and analysis, the company is actually fully responsible and can be proud to their shareholder. But as far as the share stock market's performance, nobody can tell. I can't tell, really. So, but have faith in the company. I think that is the main issue. And the other sector is a lot of people have been thinking, we're selling the share so cheap to Ironridge, well, which is not true. The certificate quoted is only acting as a collateral, a security. So eventually, how much share we're going to issue or for exchange, we have to redeem our old share and we issue that share to Ironridge is depending how strong is our shareholder supporting the share prices. For instance, if the share prices today is $1, we only have to pay 80 cents based on 80 cents per unit to issue the share. If it is 150, we pay only the unit price is 120 per share. So, on the other side, if the share price is reduced to 40, the unit price on the share was only 32 cents issuing to Ironridge. So it's still up to the market. In other words, what is said is the higher is the market price, the less share that will cost us to issue to Iron Ridge. But the lower is the share prices, the more shares we have to issue to Iron Ridge. So again, no dilution, but still depends on the market reaction to how much share we're going to issue to Iron Ridge.
All right, and again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. All right, let's go with our next question.
Yes, Mr. Lee, I was wondering, this is a two-part question. Are you standing by your earnings estimate for next year of around $1 a share, and has there been any change in dividend policy given, I guess, that you've decided not to give the issue the convertible shares?
No, because actually this year we have promised to give 2 cents, which we gave 1 cent in cash and 1 cent in shares. But because the logistic can bring the share dividend, we're still not getting the approval from Finland, but we are trying many other ways in order we can pay this extra 1 cent for this year. But for next year, we have made a promise somehow we will double our dividend. But of course, that is still subject to many other global conditions and the China economic condition. But if all goes well, we will maintain our intention of doubling the dividend every year. And we have so far done that for 2 years. And the company has only been new since 2007.
I thought you planned to give out around 10% of earnings next year, of, you know, which would be 10% of a dollar per share. Is that not true?
Average, we intend to give is around about 8%.
Do you still expect to earn a dollar share next year?
Well, that is too forward-looking. I cannot say that out loud to you in a conference call. But you can think back. This year, we made a promise of about 43 cents, but I think we're going to exceed that slightly. So if that's what we projected for next year, with the business running at the current momentum, I think we will make it.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Let's go on to our next question, please.
Yes. Hello. My question is, you've been talking about spinning out your subsidiaries to different Asian exchanges, but why not list Sina Agri-Food in its entirety on a foreign exchange instead of spinning out the very small subsidiaries?
We have been doing financial analysis in this kind of competition, and in our analysis, we have killed if we could have leased the subsidiary in other stock exchange, in the Asian exchange, for instance, the shareholder will gain a benefit about 2 times if we would have leased the whole entity in another exchange. But by doing it individually with the subsidiary, I'm sure, for our analysis, the shareholder will definitely gain at least 2 times better benefit financially.
Okay. Will the current shareholders gain direct ownership of the spin-outs, or will part of it be kept in Sina Agri-Food? Maybe that's too specific a question. But
no, to answer your question very simple, I'm also a shareholder of Sina Agri-Food. So what do you think?
Okay. Well, one other question. Do you know when you will increase your ownership in the first fish farm to 75%?
I didn't quite exactly get that question. Can you please repeat that?
Yes. Right now you have 25% ownership in the first fish farm, as I understand it. And I wonder when you will increase the ownership in that fish farm to 75% in order to get as much profit as possible from the fish sales.
Yes, that has always been our intention. We will keep a low percentage of equity on this kind of fish farm operation in year one of their operation. But once when they start producing sales, we will increase our equity. Eventually, we increase it up to 75% by third year of their operation. So I would expect next year we will take it up to controlling interest. And the year after, we will pick up the full 75%.
Okay. Thank you. I have a few more questions, but I missed the first couple of minutes of the conference call, so I hope I don't repeat them. But will CF skip the convertible part of the dividend in the future and instead only opt for normal cash dividends and share buybacks as ways of rewarding the shareholders?
Actually, my intention is to give what I say. We're looking for long-term investing shareholder. So when I first map out the plan for the dividend of paying the 2 cents, it was pay 1 cent in cash and 1 cent in share. But that share is going to be payable in 2 years' time. And with an accumulating interest per year of 8%, which is, in my opinion, my intention is hopefully we can have some long-term investor based on that. But on the share basis, at the moment, we're still working out the logistics such that it could be approved by FINA. Now, if that comes through and approved by FINA, I would say that would be my pattern for the next coming year, half cash and half in a convertible note with an interest payment to support it as well. So the shareholder will actually, at the end of the day, they when they convert, it's all cash. It's up to them.
Okay. Personally, I think it's best with normal cash dividends and share buybacks because it's simple to understand. But on to another question. Do you know if you will pay income tax on the income from the fish farms? Or is that tax-free, like normal agricultural production?
Well, at the moment, the tax structure on the fish farm, we have made in our 10Q report, it's very inconsistent in China. So we're still negotiating with some of the district governments on this tax issue. On the fish farm at the moment, the first fish farm, they regard it as a high technology production. And so we are subject at the moment, we are subject to 50% of income tax. That means if we earn a dollar, we have to pay income tax on the dollar, but we only get discount 50% of that income tax. But at the same time, on the open dam farm, we are fully 100% tax-free. So we're still negotiating. We are not very sure because this is China, it's still a developing country, and a number of factors has not been fully established. But anyway, if we fail to negotiate to a better position, the fish farm will subject to 50% of income tax, but the open dam farm is tax-free.
Okay. Do you think that the trend towards larger fish farm orders will continue? Now, recently you got an order for 2 module farm. Maybe it will continue and you get order for 4 module farm or 10 module farm and so on. Do you think that trend will continue?
Well, at the moment, apart from the existing farms, we already negotiating to build more. Actually, it's too forward-looking also to put it down to you now because it's not yet materialized. But from time to time, we will make announcement once when it is materialized. But the intention is to build a number of farms quite rapidly over the next 2-3 years. Because we are looking at doing our direct marketing network starting from next year. And we've got to have enough source of good quality supply in order to sustain our marketing network. So, but because it's so forward-looking, that is as far as I can tell you.
Okay. Will there be more deals like the Iron Ridge deal in the coming year, you think? If you
will there be more what? I couldn't quite get the last question.
Will there be more deals like the Iron Ridge deal the coming year where shares are issued to pay for a loan? Will there be more deals like that in the coming year, you think?
Well, actually, you cannot single out this kind of thing because we have been financing, doing equity financing for quite some time. But the effect is not really, I would say it doesn't have a direct impact because most of these funding institutions, they have very good governance over the share trading. Okay. Financial institution picks our share. They must trade in order to make the end profit. But they are reasonable and responsible people. I don't think you will. The fear of they are dumping the share, I don't think it's there. And we have been using equity financing. You can see from what I just said before, our debt to equity ratio and our increase of share per year. You have seen very frequent there's more shares going back into the market. But we kept dilution within a reasonable level. So whatever share already flows in the market, when we bought it back and we resell it, that share already existed in the market. It doesn't have such a big impact. And I think the global condition and the economic condition and the sentimental of the Chinese currency at the moment is the major concern. And the second major concern I always voice is the short shooting in the state.
And another quick reminder to ask a question, press star 1. All right, let's go to our next question.
Yes, hello? You hear me?
Yes, you can go ahead with your question.
Yes, this is Mr. Romlin here. I'm sorry, I have not been listening to the whole conference call, so if I repeat anything, I hope you forgive me, but try to answer anyway. I'm calling also about the Iron Ridge deal. I just wonder, my question is like this. Why did Iron Ridge all of a sudden come up with your debt? As I understand, this debt was held, if I'm not wrongly informed, by a bank, ICBC. So why did they hold that debt all of a sudden?
We have never owned any bank, any debt, so your first information could not be correct.
All right.
And secondly, the question that you pose is very simple. Our debt is our other payable in the company's balance sheet. And from time to time, you have seen our balance sheet. We have shown debt settlements. And in a number of cases, we do settle debts because the creditor sells the debts to the financier. But
right.
The creditor, most of our creditors are loyal and friendly parties, and they just like you The resources depends on certain payback requirement, much like the line of credit, like in a home loan. So the transaction with iNuge will help. They will pay off the creditor faster, such that the creditor will allow us more credit line and turnover in that manner. It's not an urgent issue. But in this case, which makes it confusing is because under the California law, you've got to go through a fairness hearing court.
Right.
That needs to be approved by the judge. That is a fair hearing, which is a fair deal to all concerned parties. And the court approves it as a fair deal. So in another way, the company has not lost anything, and the company has, in fact, by iNuge helping out the creditors, and the creditor will again extend more credit to us, and such that we can move our development faster. That's all it is boiled down to.
Right, but what I'm then concerned about is that if when I read the SEC filing, I'm a bit concerned about the setup of the transaction, because the price, the number of shares, and the price will be determined by this transaction period, and it will be should be turned over about $9 million. And the lower the price, the more shares IronRidge will receive, and that means that they have an incentive to hold the price down, and that is not for me as a shareholder, that is very negative.
No, because you did not read the summary together, because the summary says it will cap at any given time if we issue more than 9.9% of the total issue and outstanding, which we do not need to give. So on based on that, and the other factor is the number quoted, on the number of share quoted, it's only acting as a security at the moment. But which is your right. At the end of the day, how much share is going to we're going to issue out to iNuge is still subject to how fast our share performs in the market. If the share could reach $1.50, for instance, we'll pay a lot less shares. If the market price reached much less than 40 cents, then it will cost us more share to give to iNuge. Now, that is the case. But the shareholder for 6.9 million is only acting as an interim security, that's all. So again, we need the shareholder to support the share. In order that, we only have to pay less. But not to trigger a panic position, because it's no dilution. And in fact, the company is gaining a lot. The company is sitting, we bought shares, and we tied it in the treasury at a much lower figure in comparison to whatever the current price quoted. So the company is gaming at all given time. The shareholder had to benefit. It doesn't show them at the moment in the balance sheet, that's all.
All right, and let's go on to our next question. Caller, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, thank you. Regarding the equity financing, again, Mr. Solomon, currently the stock is trading at, if you would have an EPS 2012 of $1, the stock is currently trading at a PE multiple of 0.5. Given that extremely low valuation, wouldn't it be a good deal to take up an amount of debt to increase your leverage and buy back a substantial amount of shares in the market, and actually decrease the outstanding shares by using that? Because for all investors involved and for all shareholders, this seems like the obvious solution to attain a higher shareholder value. However, this does not seem to be the plan of a company. Would you mind?
Well, let's put it this way. We are expecting by the end of this year, you have a growth rate in earnings per share of 68.75%. Well, if that is still not sufficient for a common shareholder, what do you expect the company to do? You have a net tangible asset growth of over 24% for the year. In such a growth rate, and we are capping the issuance of total issue and outstanding below 9%. And the company having a debt to equity ratio of 19%. Now, it's impossible for a company to perform. I know a lot of people say, why don't you go to the bank and borrow? Now, that's not the mentality of a Chinese businessman. We never go to the bank and borrow up to the hill. If we could do it with equity and under controlling manner, which is interest-free and so on, and at the same time, you still get a good net tangible asset goal, which is much better than many companies at the same level. And you have 68.75% growth in the earnings per share, and it's still not sufficient, then it's a very sad story.
Thank you for that response. And like I said earlier, the operation of Sino Agrofood is going outstandingly well. However, the financing has been some question marks. I have a further question. Looking at the information brochure presented in May, the plan was for up until 2013. What is management's plan, and how long are you expecting to work with Sino Agrofood beyond that year?
I didn't quite exactly get that question. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that one?
Yes. The projections from the May presentation made in Stockholm was until 2013. What is management, or what do you, as being the manager of a company and one of the biggest shareholders, what do you see beyond 2013? Will there be a continue of TF's current business strategy as a holding company, or what can you see beyond that year?
Okay, I don't know what anything I'm going to say here is how forward-looking it might be. But I could sum it up for you in this manner. At the moment, as we said in Stockholm, this year we're targeting on productions and quality and quantity of productions. Now, which we are doing that. And next year, we are venturing into setting up our direct marketing network. Now, given the two scenarios being maturing, and we are looking at a very positive 2013. Now, by 2013, at the end of 2013, my intention is to take in some of the individual subsidiaries to be listing in some of the other stock exchanges, even. I'm thinking going up to the Asian country, might be to some of the European country with some of our existing subsidiary. I think by then they should have the performance to do so. Now, my analysis is this. By the time we do the listing, apart from what benefit the shareholder is receiving from 2010 to 2013, they will double the benefit in 2014 because of this corporate listing exercise. So disregarding the operation, which will bring in the profit like we are seeing, you also have the additional profit as a shareholder of the holding company. So I hope I can answer your question in this manner without being too forward on it.
All right, and another reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay, let's go with our next question.
Hi,
I'll go ahead with your question.
Hi, Solomon. I notice you're talking a lot about forward-looking statements, but in the presentation in May, which I guess is backward-looking, you targeted, I think, $57 million in revenue, which you appear to be right on, so congratulations, and about triple that in 2012. So I was wondering if there's any change in that outlook, and also how many new fisheries or fish modules that was based on, and where you see you're at now in relation to that target, and how you think 2012 will go.
Now, I can answer that question because the projection, what we made for at that period for this 2012, is practically the revenue will come in from the production area as well as the marketing network. We're putting ourselves into two sectors. One is a producer. The other one, we're setting us up as a wholesaler as well as a distributor and retailer. At the same time, such that we can bring our produce directly from the farm to the consumer market. Now, if those two plans are coordinated in 2012, we definitely will perform as what we said we could perform. But because, let's put it this way, because the market changed in the state, that made it in a way, it might retard our development program, might not make it as fast as we intended to do. But if that is the case, we will still not be that far off. Although we might not be able to do the double. I'm looking at the worst scenario, but we're still performing as a producer or a not fully mature marketing network, we should still perform reasonably well, to answer your question.
To quantify that a bit, as I recall, the retail network added as much, I believe, as 15% to the fish revenues. But the other 85% was from the two profit centers already in existence, one being the construction, consulting, and services, and the second, the sales of fish, whether it's to yourself or to somebody else. And it seemed to me that that is based on how many fishery modules you have and how many you project to have. And I just wonder if you can add some color about the lag time it takes between signing a contract, approvals, how long it takes to construct these modules, and when they begin to actually sell fish. And while we're at it, if those projections, particularly for fish sales, which were enumerated, are on target for 2011 and 2012.
Well, 2012, we definitely will have increased volume of fish sales substantially. On the other sector, one of the other profit centers is our construction and service and consultant services in building these farms. Now, that sector at the moment, current moment, looks good. So as far as the production and the service centers and all that is concerned, I think it's on target. But when you're talking about revenue as well as profit, now you must remember the revenue sector, right, is not 10% of the network. The profit will be contributed 10% by the marketing network for 2012 because it's just beginning. But in fact, the revenue contribution by the marketing network is quite substantial. So what I'm trying to tell you is, okay, if the marketing network will not take off as fast, right, our revenue might be not matching what we're projecting. But somehow the profit will not be that much difference.
So if I can interpret that, then of the three components, one being the retail network, which may or may not meet what you had thought back in May, but the other two components being the construction and consulting plus the actual sales do appear to be as you foresaw at that point, and if that's the case.
Yes, we are looking at on schedule and on target.
So what I'm hoping as an investor is that there will be press releases whenever there are any milestones met on the fish side, which I would hope would include contracts, beginning construction, and a timeline between when fisheries start being constructed and when they actually produce sales, as well as what capacities of fish sales you project for each fishery and the time of each. Because I noticed in the last couple correspondences, you seem to have discovered ways to increase the capacity, which is great. Can I sort of look forward to those?
Well, let me explain to you in this manner. In the 10Q, if you read in between the lines, we cannot write it too forward-looking, but if you read in between the lines, the question you just asked has been surfaced in the 10Q, on the last 10Q. Now, at the same time, I can explain to you briefly here. It normally takes about, but again, sometimes it's subject to the inflationary matter or the cost of material here in China. Say in the last 6-7 months, it has increased tremendously. So we have to take it easy. When we obligated to the contract, we cannot overdo it and reducing our profit to a certain extent. So we try to linger a little bit until the price of the material and so on go down a little bit. Then we move faster in that period. But in a general, I would say a farm can be built within 9 months. Now, thereafter, most of the farm needs about 2 months for the water treatment. And then the farm can produce, say, from the construction to the time they start stocking, it's about 12 months. Now, the reason why the farms are so good in increasing the profit is because these farms are for the blowout purposes. Now, we in China here, the species of fish that we're growing in our farm, we're looking at the very high price species. Now, why the high prices? Because they have to grow, number one. Number two, the downstream supporting industry for this kind of species is not readily available. So this year, we're building that as well as next year. We're building the supporting facilities. We are very lucky. So far, we have now been able to introduce the idea, and we're getting a lot of support from them. That means next year, if it is for 1, 2, 3 farms, the supporting facilities are there. But lucky, next year we're only building extra farm. So by the year next year finish, we hope to also getting more support from the downstream industry for us to be able to support all the farms that we're going to build next year. Now, the farm that we're building is like this. If we're going to grow fingering from very small fingering, say 20, 30 millimeter and upward, and then carry it right through the period, to the time they mature to go to the market, it takes quite sufficient time. And the risk factor is quite high, too. So that's why the supporting industry comes in now. Now we have managed to get people to grow our fish to a certain size. Then we will stock in our farm and we make the turnover much faster. Now, in that manner, if a farm that we have the growing capacity from fingering, small fingering, to the market time, they say 250 tons, but within 3 years, the same farm under the supporting system that we're building now, the same farm can produce over 1,000 tons of fish. So I hope I answered your question in this manner.
All right, and let's go to our next question.
Hello.
go ahead.
Yes,
this is Mr. Romney. I was cut off before, so I hope I can answer the full question now. I wanted to say just comment on the Iron Ridge deal. That there are two things that I think is concerning. One, if you go into such a transaction, there's an incentive for the taker of the new shares to put the price down. That is very negative for existing shareholders. And number two, as I understand, the equity of the share is something like $1. And if you issue shares at them at 40, 50, 60 cents, I think that is that doesn't make business sense to me. So I don't think this is the right way of managing the stock. But then number two, and this is very important, information. I would propose that you put all information fully and directly on your own website so that investors do not have to look around on links at Yahoo or OTC board and so on and so forth. So I would appreciate if you have an information department on the company, put everything up under investor on your own website so that it's direct and full. And, for example, there is no telephone number to the investor relation person in United States and Europe. I think there should be a telephone number there. Could you comment on that?
Okay. Your question number one, I think I have made that reply.
Let's skip it.
Conference call. Yeah. Then your second question is valid. But although we have put it out on the 8K already, which is by regulation, we must put it out. So, but I presume in Europe it might be a bit difficult to look into the SEC's website for the 8K. But I take your point. Apart from the 8K, in future, we can do a separate announcement for this kind of a transaction to make sure that the European clients will get the same understanding as in the 8K. So,
yeah, what I mean is... Yeah.
I shall do that, yes.
Yeah, what I mean is that you have your website is fully okay, and you have a tag there for investors. If you can put everything up on your own website immediately, then everyone knows. You check the website, and
yes.
Then all information is there. That would be better because, that would facilitate. That would make it a lot easier for an investor to seek information. And also, if I need to call someone, it would be great if there is a telephone number to this. For example, you have this person, Chad Sykes, as I understand. So then I need to call him, there should be a telephone number.
I think we have Chad's website, the email in our announcement and newsletter at all different times. But anyway, at your point, we will pay particular attention to this issue in future.
That is great. Okay, so I'm happy with that, and I wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Let's go to our next question.
Yes, Mr. Solomon, I have an inquiry regarding the plans for uplisting to the bulletin board and to the NASDAQ. Would you mind developing a bit on that and the time schedule for those uplistings and so on? Thank you.
Okay. As far as going up to the bulletin board, we have answered the latest question from the OTCBB last week. And I'm hoping that might be the last lot of questions. If that is done, I think we should be on the BB within the very near future, but I could not tell you the exact time. But as far as NASDAQ is concerned, we are targeting, but we have other alternatives apart from NASDAQ. We have MX and so forth. That one, at the moment, because the sentiment of the market, it'd be very difficult to bring it up to $4. Although we are qualified in many other areas. So again, I cannot tell you until the market situation may improve a bit. Because I know in between many people suggest for me to do a reverse bid and so on, and this kind of shortcut in order for us to get up. But I don't believe that. I believe our fundamental is sound. We should be able to reach to that $4 very easily, but only because the market sentiment. So exactly what time we can reach that, I think a lot depends on the market performance. Number two is we are working. We are working to that direction.
Well, okay. Thank you very much for that answer. And if I look at, for example, Sino Agri-Food peers listed in the Hong Kong Exchange or on the Shanghai Exchange, you can see some very high valuations. For example, some other aquaculture producers, a lot of them trade at PEs of between 30 to 40 at the Shenzhen and the Shanghai Stock Exchange. Are there any plans, although this is far in the future because it would be in 2013 and during the spin-off, or, for example, or listing Sino Agri-Food somewhere else, are there any plans or taken into consideration, perhaps looking at any of the of these exchanges that has very high valuation?
Yes, but to do it in China, you have to understand, the waiting list here is 3 to 4 years before they start looking. This is a headache at the moment. And number two, it's not a straightforward listing like you understand from the outside. So we are intending to take our subsidiary to be listed in the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, for instance, Singapore Exchange, for instance, and the European Exchange, for instance. Although you might not get such a wide margin of 30 multiple, but it definitely is better than what we're getting now of 1.6 or 1.4 times. So you can be sure we are targeting and we are working on that area. Hello.
Okay, let's go on with the next question.
Hello. In 2012, will you allow a person from Sweden to join the CF board of directors?
Yes, we already, in this area, we are already looking into the possibility, but we have invited people from Sweden. Verbally, they agree. And at the moment, I'm looking for some extra director who are very experienced and who are reputable in the fisheries sector in China. We are talking to them now. So as soon as they mature, we will make an announcement for this matter.
Okay, thank you.
All right, again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. All right, doesn't seem to be any other questions in the queue. Okay, we did have a couple more questions pop up. Let's go ahead with our first question.
Solomon, I think we can all agree that the valuation is low and it doesn't match the fundamentals or the growing fundamentals. Just wondering if there are actions that as a company you can take to help that valuation. Two that come to mind are publicizing what I'm getting the impression is equal buybacks to whatever debt payments are made, or perhaps exceeding that number with share buybacks. If the shareholders get, you know, a release about Iron Ridge, but don't get equal publicity about the share buybacks that are offsetting them, would be one. And a second would be continued communication about perhaps simplifying or at least reiterating the dividend policy, which, as I understand it, is now guided by a 12% of net income target, half of which is a note, so that if it were to change, perhaps it goes back to the 8 or split the difference at 10, but in any case, it's, I think, a distinguishing factor for your company. So I'm wondering if there are actions like those or others being considered by the company to help the perception of the value.
Well, to answer your question, naturally we did it the reverse around. We already bought the equivalent amount of shares. Then we reissue it. So that's why it has no dilution impact. But in fact, the company gained from that position. Now, to answer your second question is our intention is to pay anywhere up to 8% of the annual profit in dividends. But because it is still a developing country, so at time, like you said, you're correct, we could put the cash into better usage. But we have made the promise to pay dividends, so we keep on paying within that 8% margin every year. But whether it will be fully cash or part cash and partly in shares, as I said before, the share is subject to the FINAs and the logistic issue that we can overcome. We're still targeting to make that dividend of 1 cent in share in the very near future. So in future, but once when FINA approve our proposition of partly share and partly cash, and I think it'd be a consistent pattern for the coming year. But when we say share, that's share as we presented before to all our members during May this year. This share, you have the option at maturity to take it in cash with your interest of 8%, or you can just take the share. So it's, but because of this problem, it creates a logistic problem at the end of the day. That's where we could not issue that at the moment. But we're working on it.
Wasn't the target raised from 8% to 12% when you decided to split it half cash, half a note?
No, it's always within the 8% mark. I have never, might be a misunderstanding by somebody, but I have never said 12%. We have always projected around about, kept within about 8%.
Well, why wouldn't it just be simpler to forget the note if it's logistically so difficult?
Mm-hmm.
Why not forget about
it? I get that.
Why not just drop the note portion and target the 8%, make it all cash, and get around the logistics problem?
Well, the 2 cents is within the 8% of last year. So next year, if it is 4 cents, we'll also be within the target next year. That does still represent 8%. That did not represent 12%.
Okay, but if it's 4%, that would be, if it's 4 cents, that would be 8% of 50 cents, which is substantially
right.
Lower. Well, I know you're reticent at this point to guide for 2012. So two questions. If it's 4 cents, it's looking like you're guarding for 50 cents. I'm presuming that that's a worst case, so you could comment on that. And B, at what point do you think you will put out guidance for 2012? And can you at this point guide for 2011 in terms of revenues you already have for earnings, which you say will exceed the 43, we think, by a little?
Well, that's you're correct. We already projected for the full year of 2011. And the dividend pay is always for the year before. So you're also correct. The 4 cents if we pay next year would be for this year of this year's earnings.
All right, let's go on to our next question.
Yes, Mr. Solomon, regarding equity financing again, has the company considered for forward financing, consider a rights issue instead of private placements that would target all current shareholders instead of private placements?
Well, we're looking at many other alternatives as well. But in any event, equity financing has always been part of our plan. We have never put it as a hidden agenda. But in any ways, within our performance so far, you can see we are fully responsible. We are not overdoing anything. But by the time you're looking at the growth rate of your net tangible asset per share and the growth rate of your earning per share, and also we kept the debt-to-equity ratio within a very reasonable figure, and our increase of our fully total issue and outstanding also kept within a very reasonable amount. So when you're taking all this into consideration, I believe our shareholder should not just isolate one issue and forgot about the other issue, the other benefit that the shareholders are gaining at the same time. So I hope I answered your questions.
I interpret that as rights issues is not a plan for future equity financing.
No, but eventually when the company completed most of the development that is beneficial to increase your earning and so on, the company mostly don't need any financing. But at the current moment, the growth rate requires a certain financing.
Okay. So rights issues are not excluded as a part of the...
No, it's not excluded. We're looking at all revenues. Yes.
Okay, right. Can you see an horizon or a maturity in the company where a time when the company will not need further external financing? Can you predict that 1 year, 2 years, 3 years in the future?
Yes, I think I'm very much hoping, let's put it this way, we are right. By 2013, we should not need any external financing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and let's go on to our next question.
Yeah, Mr. Solomon, I wonder when will all cold weather cattle buildings be ready that you are constructing at this moment?
I didn't quite get that question, I'm sorry.
Well, as I understand it, in your cold weather cattle production, all the buildings that you have planned for the current site are not yet ready. They are still under construction, and the production is not up to 100% of what it is, has been planned to be. So when do you think that all the buildings will be ready and the production will be at 100% of the planned capacity?
Well, the current development this year, like the Shenjiang project. The development is very much on schedule. They're already producing. They're already selling the cattle. This year, our harvest is extremely good up there. So the production for next year of 5,000 head of cattle should be on schedule. Now, the development on the new project in the Hulam provinces, that is another fertilizer company, similar type of development like in Samling, in Samjiang. That one, because the regulation changed a lot these days, and we have to apply for the regulation. So although we have all the engineering plan already drawn up for the 8,000 square meter production plan, we cannot put it into motion until it's fully approved. The situation continues to change in China because the governance on the building and the development side is very getting very straightened these days. It's different even to last year. It's very much different. Now, also the other factor, because the inflationary measure has come up quite rapidly, our building materials and our labor costs and all this is also creeping up at a very unfavorable rate. So given all this factor, but we're still targeting the existing contract, as we said in our 10Q report, it will be finished by Q1 next year. The farm that we are building now. But the new contract, I think, will face a similar problem. So I think how quickly can we get them implemented, like I said before? We used to take us maybe 6 months to complete the contract. But for the coming year, I think conservatively, we should put it down about 9 to 12 months.
All right. I don't see any other questions in the queue at this time. Okay. Would you like to go ahead and end the call with any comments?
Actually, I had made up some summary on my my concluding summary, but I think I have said most of them during the conversation. But in any case, we kept all these and put it in the 8K and our website so our shareholder can all look at that. And I think that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, we do appreciate everyone joining the call. And this will conclude it. Please enjoy your Thanksgiving. Thank you.